Chapter 18. Xingxing ran up the hill toward her cave. She was alone again. The boat had docked at night, and when the crew punted the boat away from the embankment in the morning, Yao Wang, Shang, and the medicine cart were long gone. Xingxing had had to spend the entire day following the captain around because the looks the crew gave her once she was all alone frightened her more than whatever form of madness the captain was seeking. The noisy surging of the river, which had seemed exciting the day before, now seemed almost brutal, the sloughing of the wind almost ominous. It was now early evening. Travel by boat against the current was easier than walking, but, unfortunately, just as slow. She'd been gone so long. The closer Xingxing got to the cave, the faster she ran. She opened the squeaking door. Though the summer light still shone outside, the cave was dark inside. The air was stale.
"Go away, demon!
Go away, demon!" screeched stepmother behind the bamboo screen around the Kang. "It's me, Xingxing," said the girl. She left the door open, and in the dim light it afforded her, she made her way through the bamboo corridor and turned into the small area surrounding the Kang. A thick stench stopped her, as firmly as though she'd met a stone wall. Her eyes slowly adjusted to the darkness. Stepmother sat with her arms wrapped protectively around Wei Ping on the Kang. Their hair hung down stringy. Their eyes burned at her out of haggard faces.
"Is that truly you?"
asked stepmother in a thin voice.
"Yes, truly."
Stepmother got unsteadily to her feet.
"Where's the Lang Zong?"
"He wouldn't come," said Xingxing. "He said that he'd already been this way, and that people in other villages needed him now."
"And the dates?"
Mother hobbled around Xingxing, touching her here and there. Her breath reeked so badly that Xingxing had a fight to keep her nose from wrinkling.
"You gave him the dates anyway?" the woman shrieked.
Wasn't that what she was supposed to do? Xingxing looked down at her feet in confusion.
"Lazy girl!"
Stepmother smacked Xingxing on the top of her head. It was not a hard blow, but Xingxing hadn't braced herself against it, so it knocked her to the floor.
"You took all these days for nothing?"
Xingxing pulled the small sack of powder Yao Wang had given her from inside the bodice of her dress.
"Medicine,"
she said, holding it up. Stepmother narrowed her eyes and put her face close to the sack. Then she snatched it. She sat on the Kang, and her trembling hands fumbled with the knot.
"Hurry," said Wei Ping.
She leaned sideways, putting her weight on one hand. With the other, she clutched stepmother's arm.
"Hurry!"
Stepmother picked at the knot ineffectually. Sweat beads formed at her hairline, catching what little light there was. They dripped into her eyes. A brittle note of frustration whistled from between her teeth. Wei Ping poked her finger into her stepmother's arm as the woman worked. Poke, 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 never taking her eyes from the little sack. The two of them seemed demented. From her position on the floor, Xingxing looked around. The chamber pot in the corner of the screened area had overflowed. Pits and cleanly gnawed bones had been shoved into a small pile. The water bucket was empty. The stone fire had gone out. She got to her feet and took the sack of powder from stepmother, who looked at her passive and dumb now, as though the woman were somewhere else, beyond the present, beyond reaction. Wei Ping was still poking her mother, but aimlessly, without a goal. She didn't even glance at her half-sister. Xingxing walked outside. She climbed the little steps carved into the side of the cave and rolled the rock from the window, letting the mix of weak sun and moon cascade inside. She went back into the enclosure around the Kang and took the bucket and went down to the pool and brought back fresh water.
She undressed her half-sister and her stepmother, discreetly averting her eyes, grateful to find them both cool to the touch, though noticeably thinner. She washed them thoroughly, but she didn't yet touch Weiping's bandages. She dressed them in clean clothes. She scoured their teeth with river sand. She scrubbed the Kang. She swept the floor and emptied the chamber pot and washed every surface with rice vinegar. She gathered wood and fanned a fire with the big bamboo fan and got the stove going and made a gruel from rice powder, which she ladled into bowls, then fed them, spoonful by spoonful. She washed their filthy clothes and strung them outside the door to dry. She went down the hill in what was now the deep of night and picked early wild chrysanthemums and brought them back and boiled them in water. Then she handed stepmother and Wei Ping bowls full of the yellow chrysanthemum broth and told them to drink. Through all this, stepmother and Wei Ping obeyed Jingxing as though they were small children. They now rested docilely on the Kang, stretched out side by side, propped on pillows that Jingxing had taken from stepmother's bed. Moonlight made them appear ghostly. Jingxing lit enough candles so that she could see well. She poured soy oil into a small bowl and mixed in some of the powder from the sack Yeo Wang had given her. She lay clean cloth on the Kang, at the ready. And, finally, she sat at Wei Ping's feet and unwrapped the bandages from one, bracing herself against what she might find. The white, distorted foot dripped no blood. The bone ends were as exposed as when the raccoon had first bitten the toes off, but they were no longer ragged. They'd been cut straight with the cleaver. Jingxing washed the foot and rubbed off the fine slough of dead skin. She gently smeared a thin coat of the balm over the entire foot. Then she put a dollop on the spots where the toes were missing. She worked quickly, remembering what stepmother had said about blood returning to the foot if the bandages were off too long. She folded the foot under, as she watched stepmother do so many times, and bound it tightly in a clean cloth. Then she tended the other foot the same way. Again, the two biggest toes were missing, cut cleanly off. Wei Ping made no noise as Jingxing tended her feet, not even a whimper. Jingxing took the half-empty bowls of chrysanthemum broth from the hands of stepmother and Wei Ping and told them to sleep now. They shut their eyes. Jingxing stood watching them breathe. Until this point, she had worked automatically with an unflagging energy. Now it left her. She blew out all the candles but one, which she used to light her way down the hill to the pool. She got on her knees, weary and drained, and leaned forward. She dipped her whole face into the cool water. Mother's lips brushed her forehead. Jingxing lifted her head out of the water and opened her eyes. The white fish glowed soothing moonlight. So the beautiful fish hadn't come down the river after all. She had been safe here in the pool all along. Jingxing let her clothes drop to the ground. She slipped into the pool and held tight to the side. The fish swam under her, smooth and cold, cold and smooth, like what she'd felt under her feet in the river when she escaped from the man in the ox cart. She knew the fish would never let her drown. She let go of the side and went under, then came up and found that if she moved her arms and legs slowly, she could go wherever she wanted. She could swim. What a wonderful, effortless joy swimming was! The two of them circled around each other like white ribbons, making the water swirl behind them. They slid past each other, touching wholly, like mother and child. And at last, Jingxing understood. Oh, she should have known all along. The beautiful fish was the reincarnation of Mother. They were together again at last. They swam till Xingxing found she was almost falling asleep in the water. Still, she didn't want to leave her fish mother. She never wanted to leave her fish mother. She never wanted this joy to end. She climbed out and slept on the bank. Night air patted her dry. The fingers of one hand dangled in the water, twitching now and then, as the fish glided by. Chapter 19. Yeo Wang was no charlatan, and the spirit of Sun Si Mao must have guided Xingxing's hand in mixing the medicine, for by the end of a month, scar tissue had formed on both of Wei Ping's feet, and she no longer moaned in pain. The girl hobbled like her mother now, going around and around the cave. She had the bamboo screen put outside. She was so sure there were no demons plaguing her anymore. She woke early, and she stayed up late, and her energy increased by the day. Stepmother, likewise, grew optimistic. She looked with satisfaction at the shrinking size of Wei Ping's feet, and she pulled out the dress she had started making for her months before and worked at finishing it up. She took to going into the village again to chat with friends and hope for news of a suitable son-in-law. One morning when the girls woke, stepmother was standing in the center of the main room, rubbing her elbows in excitement. "I'm going to the furniture maker at the edge of the village," she announced.
"What for?" said Wei Ping. "I like it better this way. The cave is spacious." She moved her hands around, indicating the spots that used to have furniture. Stepmother had sold anything extra. "Clutter only provides things for me to stumble over."
"This won't be clutter. We need it."
"If we truly need it, don't go to that furniture maker. He's a poor craftsman. Go to the better one in the center of the village."
"The one I'm going to is cheaper, and what we need made can be crude, so long as it's functional."
"What do we need made?" asked Wei Ping.
"You'll see," said stepmother with a sly smile. "The annual cave festival is coming up soon. We have to be ready."
Xingxing had practically forgotten about the cave festival. It was a wonderful event. The whole village celebrated it together, not just the people who lived in the cave homes. It took place in Xingxing's favorite park. They ate a breakfast of rice toasted to a crunchy golden brown. Then stepmother left in a hurry. When Xingxing picked up the water bucket and prepared to go to the pool, Wei Ping called out,
"Take me with you."
Though Wei Ping was thin, she was much larger than Xingxing, and therefore weighed more. This reality, however, was not something to point out. "I could never manage you and the water bucket at the same time. I'd spill every drop," said Xingxing diplomatically.
"I'll walk, of course," said Wei Ping. "We just have to go slowly."
"The hill is steep," said Xingxing.
"Take me with you," pleaded Wei Ping. "I have to practice walking so that I can have fun at the cave festival, too. Please, take me with you, sister."
Xingxing knew Wei Ping was manipulating her by calling her sister, but she couldn't help her reaction. She smiled, and the girls slowly made their way together down to the pool. As Xingxing approached the water, her beautiful fish mother surfaced and rested her head on the bank. Xingxing knelt and fed the fish leftovers from breakfast, as she did every morning. Xingxing knelt and fed the fish leftovers from breakfast, as she did every morning.
"What a remarkable fish," said Wei Ping, coming up behind her.
The fish quickly dove and disappeared.
"Don't you recognize her?"
Wei Ping looked at Xingxing, then her eyes widened.
"But You can't mean that's the same fish that used to swim in the bowl on the king beside me.
The very same, said Xing Xing.
But that's delightful, said Wei Ping. Our fish! And she's grown miraculously. She's longer than an adult man.
The girl was right. Xing Xing's fish mother had grown enormous, and her beauty had increased accordingly. Xing Xing smiled.
I want to see her again, said Wei Ping. You fed her, didn't you? I saw you. I want to feed her, too. I think she's lovely, too.
I don't have any food left, said Xing Xing, and she's gone off. You can feed her the next time you come down to the pool with me.
I don't want to wait till the next time, said Wei Ping. I want to see her now.
She sat down at the pool's edge.
Come, dear fish, she called. Come back and let me see you.
But the fish didn't come. After a while, Xing Xing filled the bucket, and with many rests along the way, the girls returned to the cave. When stepmother came in later, Wei Ping couldn't wait to tell her about the fish.
She's huge, mother. You should see. And she's even prettier than she was before.
Are you sure this is the same fish? Asked stepmother.
Xing Xing feeds her every day, said Wei Ping, nodding. She feeds her with her shitzi, the forefinger she uses to feed herself, just as though the fish was a family member. The fish comes right up to her and sticks her head out on the bank.
Stepmother looked at Xing Xing so suspiciously, the girl's lips went cold. I have to see this for myself, she said. She went back out the door.
Talk to us first, cried out Wei Ping. Tell us about this mysterious furniture you're having made.
That can wait, said stepmother briskly. She limped down the hill. It was a long time before she managed to make it back. She dropped onto the kang, completely tuckered out.
Isn't she all that I said? Exclaimed Wei Ping, clasping her hands under her chin. Isn't she just the most wonderful fish ever?
Silly girls make up silly stories, said stepmother. But it isn't a laughing matter when it costs me so much toil to go down to the pool and back.
We didn't make anything up, said Wei Ping. We're not children. Maybe you frightened the fish.
I must have frightened her too, because she wouldn't come for me either. But she comes out for Xing Xing. I saw her, and tomorrow I'm going to see her again, and I'll be the one to feed her. Is this true, Xing Xing? Asked stepmother. Is there really a fish? And does it come out for you? Xing Xing was surprised that stepmother used her real name. Maybe the woman had sensed the presence of father's spirit. Or maybe she was merely trying to manipulate the girl, like Wei Ping had done this morning. Fingers of dread twined around her throat. She couldn't even swallow the saliva that gathered at the back of her tongue. But really, she shouldn't have had such a reaction. There was no reason for a stepmother to manipulate Xing Xing. The woman could get anything she wanted from the girl by simply ordering her around.
Yes, answered Xing Xing, forcing herself to move beyond the unreasonable dread.
Well, maybe someday you'll show her to me, said stepmother lightly, as though it were of little importance after all. In the meantime, if you're still curious, she looked teasingly at Wei Ping, I have things to tell you.
Chapter 20. The things stepmother told them held both girls spellbound. Emperor Hung Wu wanted all of China to be united. As the son of heaven, he was China's leader both morally and politically. He was the one and only person who could mediate between heaven and earth, and he decided that customs that varied from providence to providence interfered with the harmonious functioning of the cosmos.
Instead, all festivals from the local to the national should be similar and follow new ceremonial regulations that would ensure the unity of China. Our local cave festival will be very different this year, said Stepmother. Much more elaborate.
In what ways? Asked Wei Ping. Tell us.
There will be dancing and acrobatics and, well, I don't know everything, said Stepmother. But one thing is sure. People will come from far away to take part. Men. Who knows? Maybe even the local prince will come. He hasn't taken one single wife yet. All the unmarried women are going to dress up beautifully. This is our opportunity at last. Wei Ping laughed with the joy of anticipation. But Xingxing felt like crying. If all the girls were supposed to dress up beautifully, she couldn't possibly go to the festival, for her clothes were nothing more than tatters.
And the furniture you're having made? Said Wei Ping. Tell us about it, Mother. What is it?
I'll do better. I'll show you. He assembled it instantly. Stepmother went outside and came back a few moments later saying, A one-wheeled cart. She pushed it into the room. Wei Ping scrunched up her nose. That's a barrow. What will we do with an ugly barrow?
You'll sit in it and be pushed to the edge of the festival.
What? I don't want to arrive in a barrow like a bunch of radishes.
No one will see. We'll go through the woods.
That's why I wanted the cart to have but a single wheel, which can be easily maneuvered. Xingxing can grease the wheel with bear fat so that it makes no noise at all. When we get there, we'll stash the cart behind a bush, and you'll come out as fresh and happy as any girl with bound feet who is carried by a servant.
That's a good idea, Mother. A very good idea. And will you get Master Tang's slave boy to push the barrel?
We don't need him.
We don't?
Stepmother looked at Xingxing.
Of course, said Wei Ping. Xingxing is so strong.
Half of Xingxing wanted to object. She couldn't face the shame of being in rags when everyone else was in their best finery. The other half of her grasped at any chance to see the dancing and acrobatics Stepmother had talked about. And after all, shame wasn't called for. Instead, what she should feel is humility. It was good for anyone to feel humility. She met Stepmother's eyes and held them, almost proudly.
I'll scrub my dress and darn the holes, she said.
No, you won't, said Stepmother. I'm going in my mourning sackcloth, of course, so you could certainly go in your tatters, but you won't.
She went over to her sewing basket and took out the dress she'd finished the night before.
You'll wear this.
Really?
Haven't you worked hard? You deserve it.
Tears of gratitude sprang to Xingxing's eyes. But what about me? Said Wei Ping. What'll I wear?
I'll make you something splendid, said Stepmother. I'll go into the village tomorrow and buy red silk and gold embroidery thread. And I'll make matching slippers for your feet so they look like perfect lilies.
Yes, said Wei Ping. You're full of good ideas today, Mother.
Stepmother tilted her head toward Xingxing.
Come here.
Xingxing ran to Stepmother, who held the dress up to her. Try it on.
Xingxing turned her back for modesty's sake. She took off her rags and pulled the new dress on.
It's large, said Stepmother. That will allow you to dance better. Decent women should never be in tight dresses.
Xingxing ran her hands down the front of the dress. The yellow was as beautiful as sunlight. Her fingers touched each claw of the dragon Stepmother had embroidered on the bodice. She was perfectly happy.
Time to get back to work, said stepmother.
Xingxing turned and started to pull the dress off. Stepmother's hand stopped her.
You have a very different job tonight. Wear your dress and go to the spring beyond the temple near the village. Drink deeply of its water and bring a pail of it back to us. But don't hurry. Instead, sit there and compose until dinner time.
Compose? Said Xingxing. There will be poetry recitations at the cave festival. Everyone is supposed to compose sea verse with tonal patterns modeled after folk tunes. Master Tang's wife told me you are good at poetry, and surely you know many folk tunes. You can represent our family.
But what should my poem be about? Asked Xingxing.
Unloved wild geese with broken hearts, rain cooling the earth, suffering. You know the sort of thing that goes into these poems. You can do this.
Xingxing had thought she was perfectly happy just a moment ago, but now she was so much happier. Her breath was as light as a hummingbird's.
Chapter 21.
The spring burbled quietly. Besides the river, there was not many sources of fresh water in this area. The pool near Xingxing's cave and this spring were notably in a dry land. To one side of the spring was the temple, but in the other three directions spread a well-manicured garden of flowering trees and bushes, with stone statues of monkeys here and there, and a pool full of pink lotus blossoms. An artificial stone mountain rose from the center of the pool, covered with thick green moss. Duckweed floated on the surface. Xingxing dipped her hand in under the tiny leaves. The water below was cool. A sudden longing closed around her. She wanted to be with Father, to put this cool water on his face as he worked, to dig the clay for his pots, to eat with him and sing with him and rest in the crook of his arm. Her eyes hurt with held back tears. How foolish of her to feel this way at this very moment. Hadn't stepmother just given her a dress more beautiful than any she'd ever hoped to wear? Stepmother had made the dress herself, and she'd chosen Xingxing to wear it. Her life was changing. The certainty of that should open her to sweetness now, not to sorrow. She should regain the joy she felt as she left the cave to come here. She looked around and willed her eyes to welcome the goodness of this garden. Her eyes didn't disappoint her. As the sun waned and the air cooled a bit now, too, birds came from their hiding places in the tree canopy and hopped or walked along the water's edge. Black-throated robins and white-throated redstarts, tiny yellow-streaked warblers, and large red-billed starlings. Xingxing delighted most in the blue-rumped pita, with its black hood, white collar, yellow belly, and greenish-blue back. She sat very still for a long, long time. The happiness she'd felt at stepmother's unexpected announcements had made her giddy, and in that giddiness, she'd forgotten to bring paper, brush, and ink. That was just as well, though, because a city should be composed with the most attention to its sound rather than to the appearance of the characters on the paper. Indeed, most of the people who would compose sea for the cave festival probably didn't know how to write. Instead, they'd simply memorize their poems. So, as Xingxing finally began the poem, she spoke aloud and played with the sounds of words until she was satisfied. Feathers flutter and brush and slice through the air. Claws scrape and grasp what they dare. Beaks poke and dig and scoop and lick. Songs brag and flatter and flick. There's nothing quiet about birds among flowers. Aren't we glad, aren't we lucky, to witness these powers? Xingxing got up and drank deeply of the spring, as stepmother had told her to do. She filled the pail with spring water, as stepmother had told her to do. Then she walked quickly. Stepmother had told her not to hurry, but she felt she should, because she wasn't going directly back to the cave. Instead, she headed to Master Tang's house. She wanted to cry out her Xiang Meizai to see if her teacher would recognize the folk tune it was based on, and to read the reaction in the old woman's expressive face. But when she got to Master Tang's home, the old man stopped her in the courtyard. "Meizai is too busy to be bothered right now," he said gently, after hearing why she'd come. "Show your poem to me." He settled on the bench with a bowl of rice wine in one hand. "I haven't actually written it down," said Xingxing. "It's meant to be told aloud." "Then I'll listen." Master Tang stretched out his legs and leaned back on the bench. So Xingxing half spoke, half sang her Xi. Master Tang smiled. "Can you run in that fine dress?"
"I think so."
"Then run in a circle for me, many times." Xingxing ran around the courtyard. Finally, she dropped onto the bench beside Master Tang.
"Do you feel better now?"
said Master Tang.
"You needed a good run."
"I guess I do," said Xingxing. "But how did you know I needed a run?"
"You must have sat quite a long time before you composed this poem. Birds among flowers aren't noisy if people are."
Xingxing laughed.
"You have grown into a very attractive young woman, Xingxing. That new dress does you justice. Where did you get it?"
"Stepmother made it for me." Xingxing couldn't keep the pride out of her voice. "She's generous to all of us these days, it seems," said Master Tang.
"Aren't we lucky? Like in your poem.
Has she been generous to you?" asked Xingxing in surprise.
"Indeed. That's why Meizai has no time to talk with you now. Your stepmother brought us so much food this afternoon. Meizai is working with the cook, preparing a meal for all our relatives."
"I'm so glad," said Xingxing, though a high-pitched hum had started in her eardrums and her stomach felt unsettled. "You've been generous to us so many times, lending us the help of your slave boy."
"It's not just us. Your stepmother had our boy deliver fish to most of the families on this side of the hill." He finished his wine. "Extraordinary she is." The hum in Xingxing's ears turned to a drum that accented every word Master Tang said. "Come back tomorrow," said the old man. "I'm sure Meizai will want to hear your poem. The artistry of it reveals your soul. You are a fine maiden, Xingxing. As the saying goes, when accomplishments and character are equally matched, we then have a person of virtue." Xingxing bowed her thanks for the kind words, then walked carefully along the path toward the cave, holding the pail of spring water in front of her like an offering. She could smell dinner before she got inside. Delicious fermented soybeans and other things, things she knew very well. The drumming in her ears was so loud, she could hardly hear anything. She entered the cave, feeling strangely disassociated from her body, as though she were two people at once. Xingxing and the spirit of Xingxing, one walking, the other floating. She took the new dress off without turning her back to the others. Modesty meant nothing in this moment. She draped the dress across the back of a chair. Her old dress was folded neatly on her bed. She put it on. The hem stuck to her legs. It was wet. She peeled it from her skin and held the hem to her nose. It smelled of nothing new, just all the old familiar things. She pressed it to her cheek, then let it fall. They ate at the Kang. Stepmother had prepared a stew of many ingredients, all cut up tiny.
Xingxing studied the bowl. "Why is everything cut so small?" she asked with a new boldness. Perhaps this was her spirit self speaking with the voice of a drum.
"Kepeng, cutting, is equivalent to cooking," said stepmother,
"and small pieces cook faster and save fuel, so girls like you don't have to gather so much firewood." She picked up her spoon and ate a long bite. Then she yawned. "These days, all the best cooks chop food finely, but it's certainly exhausting." She looked over at Xingxing.
"Eat," she said.
"I taste millet and mallow and reeds and bamboo shoots," said Xingxing slowly, as though talking in a trance.
"And fish, of course," said Wei Ping.
"This stew is twice as good as usual, Mother."